Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyer, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. June 16th, 2010, a Colorado man was arrested on a hunting violation. I'm wondering if he's a member of Denver Bible Church. Have we asked around? Have we put out an email? Now, what happened? Was it bow hunting season? What did he have? He had a gun and a sword? He was hunting with a sword in Pakistan. Oh, they give me this note. This just in, Colorado man arrested on a hunting violation. It's the guy in Pakistan. Oh, he was hunting Osama bin Laden, that guy. Oh, brother. And he had a sword. It was a hunting violation. Come on, that's not a hunting violation. It's something else. I'm not sure what you would call it. You know, I see why you guys are goofing off. I see why you guys thought this might be a member of Denver Bible Church, because our church in Arvada, Colorado, our Denver Bible Church has a building fund, and we have a very lofty goal. Some small churches want to raise $300,000. Large churches want to raise $4.8 million, $9.6 million. Our church, we do have a lofty goal. We want to raise $50 million for our building fund, but we don't pass the plate and we don't ask people to make pledges. We really only have one idea for how to make the money, and that's get some of the dads of Denver Bible Church together, go over to Pakistan and capture Osama bin Laden and collect the reward. All right, turns out the guy who was arrested in Pakistan was not there caught in a hunting violation. He was trying to kill Osama bin Laden. And he told the authorities, they said, well, whatever would make you think you could accomplish this? And he said, oh, I thought God would bless me. So he tried. It didn't quite work, but he did try. Doug McBurney is out today. He's been filling in for me, Doug and Greg Jackson, much of the last 6 weeks, and I'm so thankful to them, because we've been working, a whole group of us around the country have been working on a website called mycampaigntracker.org, and you could go to that today and you'll just see part of the homepage, and you could put in your email ID and you'll get a notice when the site is launched. Lord willing, soon, before this month is out. And so it's a thrill to be back in the studio, and also today I'm going to be guest hosting a radio show on the East Coast. It airs in, over a dozen cities, called Truth Talk Live for Stu Epperson. That'll be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about creation, evolution, and is there proof that God created us? Of course there is. And specifically, we'll be giving scientific observations to show that they're wrong when they say that the Earth, the solar system, the universe is billions of years old. Okay. Now, what's happened in the last couple days? Barack Obama is someone who we don't talk about too much here on Bob and Yart Live, but we just got to talk about this. The hysterical quotes from leading liberals slamming Obama after his Barack oil spill speech. It was really funny. This is at realclearpolitics.com. And before I quote these, this is Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann, Howard Feynman. So MSNBC guys and Newsweek guy and all liberals. And they're just apoplectic over the Barack Obama meltdown. Not to mention Michelle Obama saying, oh, we went to Barack's home country of Kenya. And not to mention the senior elections clerk in the city of Honolulu, who says, when the whole scuttlebutt arose, we looked into it. We had official access. And we were told there is no birth certificate for Barack Obama on file in Hawaii and Honolulu at either of the hospitals. So that's all funny. But the Barack Obama meltdown generally, we don't talk much about Obama, and why not? I mean, isn't he evil? Shouldn't we warn people about how evil Barack Obama is? when people call me up or come up to me and they want to tell me how evil Barack Obama is, I make every effort to appear interested and engaged, but it is an effort. It's a little difficult. We're busy. You know, you're busy. I'm busy. My wife's busy. American Right to Life is busy. Amendment 62, Bob and Yurt Live, Creation Evolution. We're all busy. So what if I were to come up to you and say, hey, Phil, did you know that later today it will get darker? It'll gradually grow darker, Phil, later today. And then it'll be a dark. And then sometime later, it'll probably get lighter. And you look at me like, yeah, Bob, yeah, I agree with you completely, Bob. I say, yeah, you know, probably, in fact, later, if we just wait, it's probably going to get cooler into the evening, and then it'll get cooler still in the wee hours of the morning, and then tomorrow, it'll start to get lighter, and it'll begin to warm up again. And you'll say, wow, Bob, what makes you believe this? And I say, well, I've been researching it. I've been watching Fox News. I've been watching the Weather Channel, and believe me, it's going to get darker tonight, and tomorrow morning it's going to get lighter. And you'd look at me and you'd say, well, I'm glad that we agree on this, Bob. I'm glad. And that's sort of how I feel when Christians come up to me and tell me that Barack Obama is evil. It's like, well, yeah, we agree on that. Jesus, when he was here on earth, in the 3 years of his public ministry, he didn't waste his time telling people how evil the Romans were. That wasn't a significant topic of conversation for him with his disciples, nor was it a typical message he preached when he had a group listening, hanging on his every word. He blasted the Sadducees, but not the Roman Senate. He slammed the Pharisees, but not Caesar. And why not? Why? Because it was too obvious. It was blatantly obvious. Therefore, it would be too boring. I mean, now and then you have to mention in passing that, you know, the enemy's wicked. The enemy's wicked. The enemy's evil. They're child killers. They deny that God made us male and female. They have created a godless public education system. They teach kids that they're animals, evolved from slime, from goo through the zoo to you. And so from time to time, you got to point that out. They believe in aliens and they reject the creator God who made us. So you point that out. But I am way more interested, way more engaged, way more challenged when people come up to me and ask me or they give me their observations about why Christians, why the body of Christ is so very ineffective. That's what interests me, and that's what interests Jesus Christ at the time. He was speaking about the kingdom. It was only the Apostle Paul later, beginning in the book of Acts, who would use the term the body. The body, we are the body of Christ. And in the Old Testament, for example, the prophets, they didn't speak of the body of Christ. They spoke of the kingdom and Israel's covenant of circumcision. But anyway, that's beside the point. That's a rabbit trail. Is rabbit part of the dietary code? Is rabbit allowed in the Mosaic dietary law? I'm just wondering. Let me know. Look that up, okay? Thanks. All right, that was a rabbit trail. But that's beside the point. Jesus was trying to strengthen his base. Jesus was trying to get those who confessed a belief in God to actually live it, to actually be true to God, to stop compromising, to stop taking the traditions of men as their own commandments and replacing God's commands with the traditions of men. That's what Jesus was trying to do, because first you strengthen your base and then you expand from there. That's wisdom. You know, God is the creator. You look at how the physical universe functions and the ecosystems and how finely tuned all the physical constants are for just so for the physical universe to exist as it does and to enable the existence of life. And the interacting ecosystem on Earth with a million species interacting, and you see how brilliant God is. In our DNA and epigenetics, where there are environmental signals coming into an organism or into a human being, a human organism, and affecting switches in our DNA. It's all so brilliant. God is brilliant. And so he's also brilliant when it comes to promoting salvation and the tactics and strategy that he uses. And sometimes we think, well, why doesn't God use a better strategy? Why doesn't God do it this way? And if you study the Bible in an overview of the whole Bible, as we do at Denver Bible Church, in fact, that's our leading resource that has kept us on the air for most of these 20 years, the plot, it's an overview of the whole Bible. We have it in a manuscript, and we have it in audio MP3 CDs, and we have it downloadable, the plot. It's so much fun. People love it. And when you look at an overview of the Bible, you see that God tried every approach, every avenue, and that men's hearts are exceedingly wicked, and so that God will take one course of action, and men hate him for it. So he takes an opposite course of action, and men hate him for it. And the Bible shows this. Of course, if you're always looking at just a few verses or just a paragraph or two or studying a chapter and you're not bothering to get an overview of the whole Bible, that's the kind of lesson that's easy to miss. But if you want to study calculus and you've got a 200-page textbook, it's not a really good plan to turn to page 127 and start there and then read something on page 49, and then go to pages 180 to 188. And then after doing this for some weeks, you think, boy, I don't really get it. Because you got to start with the big picture, the overview, and then you drive down to the details. When you do that with the Bible, you find out that God has made every effort to reach mankind. And so Jesus was wise, and he was trying to strengthen his base and then expand from there. So he focused on Israel, and he said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Gentiles would come and ask him for help, and he'd say, no, I'm only sent to the Jews. And they would plead with him, and so on a couple of occasions, he went ahead and he was hesitant. In fact, they had to plead with him and beg him and earnestly plead with him, and then he would go ahead and help a Gentile. But that wasn't his strategy. He had a plan. God always has a plan because he's intelligent. Just like American Right to Life has a plan. The personhood movement is part of a plan, Personhood USA. The first part of the plan was to strengthen the base. Build a cohesive unit, a cohesive organization that had a commitment to God's enduring command, do not murder, and to the God-given right to life. And then build that base, which would be painful because a lot of people who are pro-life didn't really have that commitment. And they thought it's better to follow the traditions of men, especially the Republican National Committee, and do what they say instead of do what God says, because, you know, the Republicans have more wisdom than God in his word. So when we're trying to decide what to do to influence our nation for good, it's much wiser to listen to Republican strategists than it is to go back to people like the prophets and the apostles and the Lord himself. If you do that, it'll get you nowhere. It'll be a big failure. So don't even try that. Just listen to us, all right? You got to vote. It's a sin not to vote. It's a two-party system. You got to vote for somebody. Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos, that whole thing. If you don't know who Kodos is, just go to kgov.com, kgov.com, and search for, what animated show was that? The Simpsons. Search for The Simpsons on our website, kgov.com, and just listen to that, and you will split your sides laughing about John McCain and Bob Dole and all this stuff. All right. So Jesus had a strategy, and his strategy was to get as many people as would listen to commit themselves to obeying God regardless of the consequence, regardless of the cost, regardless of any lie to the contrary or any appeal to the contrary. And so here we are today, 2,000 years later, and the wise strategy is the same. Strengthen your base. Get people to obey God. And get Christians to actually have a determination to live for and trust Jesus Christ and to obey him. Even if that means not obeying the Republican National Committee. I know that's hard to swallow. I know it's hard to swallow. That at times there's a conflict between the Republican Party and God. I know that's hard to believe. Even harder is to believe at times Fox News doesn't teach the same thing that Jesus Christ taught. I know that's hard to believe. But so it is true. And so when you have Christians who their big issue is that Obama is evil and we got to get rid of Obama. That's my big goal. We got to get rid of Obama. Could you imagine if Jesus Christ for 3 years, his big issue was we got to get rid of Caesar. Caesar's evil. I got to tell everybody how evil Caesar was. Well, then he would have given a free pass to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priest, right? The priests and the Levites, they would have all gotten a free pass because he would have been telling everybody how evil Caesar was, and everybody who was at all interested already knew that Caesar was evil. So everybody would agree, and he'd get a big thumbs up from the Pharisees. And the Sanhedrin, they would find Jesus, they'd pat him on the back, and they'd say, Rabbi, we're having a meeting the day after the next Sabbath. The whole Sanhedrin will be here in Jerusalem. Could you come and speak to us? We'd like you to address the group. And Jesus would ask his scheduler to see if he could fit it in. So if that was his thing, telling everybody how evil Caesar was, then the Sanhedrin would get a pass. And all the people who supposedly represented God, they'd all get a pass because for the most part, they were all frauds. And so here we have Obama is evil. Okay, so somebody comes up to me, Bob, do you know how bad Obama is? It's hard for me not to roll my eyes. It's hard. It's hard. Unless it's an unbeliever tell me, then I'm engaged again. Because then they're growing. They're learning. They're maturing. But when a Christian is all animated that we got to get rid of Obama, what I think is that I'm speaking to a Christian who is spiritually immature. And as the Bible says, he's stuck on milk. He's not able to digest meat. So let's take him from where he's at and try to bring him. We'll go to the phones in one moment. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, at realclearpolitics.com. There are quotes from MSNBC and Newsweek about Obama's speech, the Obama oil spill speech. Keith Olbermann says, it was a great speech if you were on another planet for the last 57 days. That's Keith Olbermann. So we know Obama's evil, but it is funny to see a feeding frenzy when liberals turn against each other. It's funny. And Chris Matthews compares Obama to Carter. And I don't know that he made the comparison in a positive way. Keith Olbermann says nothing specific at all was said. Chris Matthews says Obama gave no direction. Howard Feynman from Newsweek says he wasn't specific. Keith Olbermann says, I don't think he aimed low. I don't think he aimed at all. It's startling. Howard Feynman says, Obama should be acting like a commander in chief. And Chris Matthews says that it's ludicrous that Obama keeps saying that his Secretary of Energy has a Nobel Prize. He said, I'll barf if Barack says that one more time. That's a good point, you know. And Chris Matthews, he says, it's a lot of mediocrity, a lot of blue ribbon talk. I don't sense executive command. So that's not wicked. That's incompetence, right? But wickedness makes you stupid. Wickedness makes you stupid. Wickedness makes you stupid. So Obama is wicked. So expect him to do things that are stupid in administering the nation. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278 in Westminster, Colorado. Jamie, welcome to Bob and You're Live.
Hi, Bob. God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you, sir.
You know, you were talking about, you know, making Obama the focus and the target and all of this.
Yeah.
And what people don't seem to realize is that there are 500 people standing in line behind him ready to be more wicked than he is in that job. And
That's exactly right. Like Hillary Clinton.
He's the wrong goal. You know, it's like they make him the goal. And, you know, the scripture tells us that we should set our eyes on heavenly things, not on earthly things. And we should have our eyes on Jesus, not on Barack Obama. When we obsess about Barack Obama, he becomes a kind of a reverse false idol, so to speak.
A reverse false idol. So it's fear of the boogeyman that will determine our actions and even our principles and our beliefs rather than belief in God. Perfect love casts out fear. So if I'm looking to God to determine how to come to the right decisions, then that will be different than if I'm acting out of fear of Obama. And somebody says, we got to get Obama out of there. Will you help me elect Mitt Romney or Hillary Clinton? And we think the number one goal is to get Barack Obama out of there, so I better help elect Mitt Romney.
Right. So the idol becomes political victory, as you've pointed out so many times over the years. And, you know, it reminds me of, you know, David and Goliath and that story and something that I've said for a while, that God does not call us to be successful. He just calls us to be faithful.
Wow.
The victory belongs to him. David didn't look out at the battlefield, see Goliath, and think, well, I should form a committee and we can research the odds of victory if I go out there.
Right.
With Saul's armor on, with Saul's armor off, et cetera, what size rock to use. No, he went out there and, you know, left the victory up to the Lord, and he did right and risked the consequences.
Mm.
And so, you know, the Lord doesn't call us to be successful, so the success
he
is
calls
his.
Us, yeah.
He calls us to be faithful.
To be faithful and to obey, and quite often then you get a victory.
Right. So the goal is to honor God, not to win a political victory.
Right. Imagine when God told Israel, go in, take the promised land, and they sent the 12 spies, and they said, you know, obviously we can't win this, so we need another plan. And instead of trusting God and obeying him, they said, we can't do it. And God was pretty angry with them, with his covenant people, because they refused to obey him. And instead, they compromised in the ways of the world, and the whole generation was lost in the wilderness, their dead bodies, their carcasses falling on the desert floor.
Right. They decided to go with the decision of the democratic decision of that 12-man committee.
Right. Exactly. You know, sort of like we do a jury today.
Exactly. Ten against two.
Yeah, exactly. And so you look at Germany, our dear friend of Bob and Yurt Live, Eric Metaxas, maybe the best living author.
He's great.
Yeah, William Wilberforce, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, fabulous biographies. Eric Metaxas, somebody should do a biography about him in New York City. He's a compelling human being, a committed Christian. And you see that Germany, Bonhoeffer was desperately pleading with the church in Germany to be true to God. And being true to God would mean, in part, exposing what was happening where the church was tolerant of the killing of Jews.
Right.
And the church didn't really hate the killing of Jews. The church hated Bonhoeffer. And the church died. It was decimated in Germany, so that Germany is now fully post-Christian. And that's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's happening here. Jamie, we only have a minute left. What are there any factors on the horizon that have a hope of putting a dagger in the heart of the godless left in America and influencing our nation for good? What's here?
I mean, I was looking at the American Right to Life website today, and I see the latest news story that was up there today about the pro-life Nevada being banned by the state from even gathering even one signature for the personhood initiative in Nevada. And it's like the liberals are such hypocrites that they don't even want, once they're in power, they don't even want to hear the democratic voice of the people, so to speak.
Yeah. Now that story interests me because here are Christians trying to do something that honors God, that a child has a right to life. An innocent person cannot be killed for any reason intentionally.
Right. So I look at that story and I see Keith Mason saying, you know, here comes 2012, we're getting ready. And I see a man who's not obsessed with immediate success. He's looking at being faithful.
Mm.
And he's treating it like David.
Wow, that is really encouraging. All right, that's at AmericanRightToLife.org. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you point that out. I'm a spokesman for American Right to Life. It's one of my great honors in this life. And so, Jamie, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. Jamie from Westminster. Our number, well, we're out of time for today's show, but you can call in to order The Plot. People are different. If you like to read, you get The Plot manuscript. If you like to listen, you want to hear an MP3 CD, you ask for the CD. If you want to start right away, you don't even have to call in. You could go to our website, KGOV, K-G-O-V, like government, KGOV.com, click on the store, audio, because this is something you'll listen to as compared to a video or DVD, audio, and click on The Plot. You could either get the book or download and start listening right away, and it's a lot of fun. And the lessons that come from looking at the overview of the Bible are exhilarating. They are eye-opening. God gave us a big book, the Bible, for different reasons. One reason is that we have thick skulls, and the thickness of the Bible is in direct proportion to the thickness of our skulls. But another reason is because he had a lot to share, and there's an overview in the story that is so instructive. So 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 836-9278, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school, and check out AmericanRightToLife.org.